In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I know you're all excited to dig into all that sinful behavior and all the judgment that we just heard in the Gospel according to Matthew, so here we go. I mean, what could be better? I think it's important for us to remember the context in which Jesus is teaching. So I just want to back you up to verse 17 for a moment out of, I forgot what chapter 5. I think I'd remember that by now. Verse 17, we hear this. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill. So it's important to hear that as Jesus begins this teaching, we hear him speaking of what we like to call the top 10. You know, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not have false idols. That's the oaths being taken that we hear about near the end of the reading. There is this concept that Jesus is now trying to press into those who are listening to him teach that that top 10 is just the very basic. That's like step one. That's like God's people at the bare minimum. Don't do these things. And Jesus is saying that he's come to fulfill the law. So he is going to fulfill the law, God incarnate walking with us by his example. Jesus, who will be crucified and raised from the dead and send his spirit to indwell us, to empower us to do better. He's raising the bar, amen? It's not just don't murder, it's don't be a jerk to other people. Don't judge other people, don't decide what you should or shouldn't do, don't curse other people. Raise the bar. And that's really what he's saying. And he makes that really clear. Repeatedly he says, you have heard that it was said, in this case, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you. See, we all pretty much know the top 10. I won't ask you to recite them. But we need to hear that. And then Jesus has come and he says, you have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, don't do this. But I say to you, not only don't do that, but raise the bar. Do even more than that, right? Oliver's my buddy this morning. He's good, don't worry about it. I'm used to it. So we hear this, and he continues through verses 21 and following, you have heard it said, I say to you. And we need to hear that high expectation that Jesus is giving us through his teaching. It's a very high expectation, amen? And we have to think to ourselves, well, how am I going to do that? Well, you're not. So you need help. So I was thinking about a family gathering we had a while back. We went out to play disc golf. If you're not familiar with that, that is golf with frisbees, as some people would say. Do not play catch with a disc golf frisbee unless you want a broken finger, by the way. So we were out playing disc golf. My son and I have been playing since he was 10, so that's a long time ago. And he has taught his two daughters to play. His son undoubtedly will learn when he's more than 3 years old. But we happen to be out with his daughters and our two older grandsons, our middle daughter's children, and they're of similar age. Now, the girls play a lot because this is what their dad does. The boys, not as much. So they're not as good. And one of our grandsons was having a very, very difficult time, and all he could figure out is, I'm not very good at this. And he was very upset. And I'm just going to quit. And he's saying all sorts of things, and he's getting upset and emotional about it, and he's just going to stomp away. Well, Grandpa's too old for that, so I'm like, have a good day. But for Sean, my son, he was much better at this. It was very important to him that they learn to play because he loves to play. And so he went to him. And he's like, yes, it's going to be okay. I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you. So he convinced him to keep playing. And then he would throw. And it didn't go around. And then he'd say, well, I know this is what you were trying to do, and the reason it didn't do what you wanted is because you didn't have your hand this way or that way. Focus here, pay attention to this, and he was guiding him. And before long, he was back in the game. He honestly wasn't any better, but he was calm, and he was learning, you see. See, that is how God comes alongside of us. As Jesus is raising the bar, he's like, yeah, I'm raising the bar, but I'm here with you. I'm here to help you reach this very high standard of holiness. Now, the church used to talk a lot about holiness, and it doesn't so much anymore. Now, how many of you feel like you're holy? See, that's why we don't talk about it. Because, you know, we know each other far too well. We know ourselves far too well. So when someone talks about holiness, we're like, that bar's too high. So then we begin to enter into our walk with Christ, and we forget that this is literally a journey. We focus on the ultimate end, right? The destination of holiness in Christ, and we think, I can't get there. So then we grab a hold of little pieces and we do those little things. We show up to church when we, you know, can, or something more important isn't happening. And we do some work with other people because it kind of makes us feel like that's the thing Jesus would do. And we decide, well, that's probably going to be enough. But if I really enter into a process of holiness, I already know I'm not going to get there. Amen? And you know me. You know I'm not getting there either. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus says, I know you can't get there on your own. That's why I'm here with you. And he's saying, come with me. He's the one that's going to kneel down next to you when we're falling apart and crying because our shot just went far off to the right when we were trying to throw it to the left. And he's going to say, it's okay. Let me show you. Let's see what you do with it this time. I saw you mess that up. I got you. Let me help you. See, we're on a journey with Christ. We didn't reach some destination when we claimed Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We didn't arrive. We just started. And he's here with us to guide us through it. And he's saying, it's not going to be an easy trek. Yes, the standard is very high. Just like that day, my son was not letting up on his nephew. He didn't tell him, it's okay, you can't play. Go do something else. He said, no, you want to learn to play. Well, I just can't, I can't, I can't. He goes, you can. Let me show you. Let me help you. Let me guide you. So we just get caught in it. And we get caught in our tasks, and we look at that destination in our faith journey, and we forget it's a journey, and Christ is with us. And we can just lean on him, and he'll get us to that place of holiness. And we trust him. And when we fail, we turn to him and say, I failed. And he says, I know. Do you want me to help you up? And we say, yes, and he helps us up. See, because it's important, and it's necessary, and it's a process. And we should be okay with that reality, that it's a process. When we move all the way down to verse 33, it says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. And he goes on, don't swear to heaven, don't swear about, don't claim a vow to heaven, the destination. Do not claim a vow to the earthly where the sinful dwells. Cling to your vow to walk with the Lord, so that he can guide you to the place where he's calling you to be. And it's not an easy journey. See, because God wants all of us. And as we go further in this portion of the reading, we get towards the end, because let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. He's saying, make your vow to the Lord and just make it a yes. See, when we decide we'll just do this little bit or we'll do that little bit, and we say, yes, I want the Lord to be a primary in my life. I want my priorities to be in line with His. And then we refuse to shift and change when He points us in a different direction. See, we're no better than throwing the frisbee in the wrong direction and saying, that's just as good as I'm going to get. I'm not going to try any harder. And He's saying, no, come with me and I will show you and help you be better. See, we want to live in that gray area because we're sinful. We don't want our sin to be brought up to us because sometimes it hurts. And sometimes we realize, I thought I was pretty good at this, and it turns out I'm not. But Jesus says, I know. I got you. Walk with me. But we'll cling to this gray area. And brothers and sisters, your vow is either yes or no. There's no maybe. Yes or no, your vow to the Lord. And it's going to be difficult. And I was doing some reading recently. This is from St. Francis de Sales' writings on a devout life, which he wrote in 1609. And I will just say up front, ladies, I've never given birth to a child. It references that from Scripture. I have witnessed it. It looked a little uncomfortable, to say the least. But he says this about the journey. Amidst the contradictions which shall infallibly befall you in the exercise of devotion, remember the words of our Lord from John 16:21. I'll read from a little less complicated translation than the one he used. If I don't lose my mark. 16:21, when a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. Now, I've also seen mothers behave in just that way. In very quick order, I've noticed. And I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure I'd just be crying for another month or so. But there's that pain and then the joy. So he says this, for you have conceived Jesus Christ, the noblest child in the world, in your soul, and until he is quite brought forth, you cannot but suffer in your labor. But be of good courage. These sorrows once past, everlasting joy shall remain with you for having brought him forth. Now you shall have wholly brought him forth, when you have entirely formed him in your heart and in your works by an imitation of his life. Jesus knows it's a difficult journey. He calls us to be on it. He doesn't want us to live in the gray area. He wants all of us. In fact, in our Rite One service, the 8 o'clock service for those of you here, we will say these very words. I will say these words in the midst of the prayers at the altar, that here we offer ourselves, our souls, and bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what he's asking of us. The one who has sacrificed all for you. It's with my help I will teach you to be like me. Not to be him, just to be like him, to reflect him in the world. It's a tough journey. Christ invites us to a holy life, to holiness of life. And he says, make that vow to me. Let your yes be yes. Anything less than that is a no.